Yes, we want you all to be awake. Good morning, everybody. We added brighter lights in here. I hope you've all noticed. I do have a Radiant Award today, and it's Billie Jean, and she is not here. So when you see her, say, where were you? No, don't. Maybe just say, congratulations, and then she'll be so confused, and she'll go, oh, I wonder what it was about. I do want to read what the managers put together for that. Billie Jean writes hundreds of emails, articles, and booth materials for a most diverse audience. In each case, she makes our emails relatable, informative, and clear. She pulls readers into the context with a great headline and photo, describes our products and its benefits in an interesting way, provides enough details that our customers will understand the author, the offer, one of those, without an influx of confused customer calls to CR, and deals with the variations of people from many countries, cultures, time zones, and experiences. Then she wraps up her writing up in a fun, uplifting, and radiant tone, motivating people enough to click the action or quote-unquote buy button. To do so regularly is a great achievement. But to do it always under a very tight time window is an even greater achievement. Well, over $1.2 million in this last year have been tracked to Billie Jean's email campaigns sent to prospects and customers. Wow, we can all say thank you, right? Because we profit share. Thank you, Billie, for your prolific and spot-on communication with our customers. So good for Billie Jean. Too bad she's not here. And if you see her, say thank you for the little bit of a bump I got in my paycheck. Today I want to talk about a topic I have actually never talked on before, so I'm going to look a little bit more closely at my notes. I'm going to talk about why we have supervisors. When we come in a meeting and we close that door and occasionally maybe you hear us laugh, sometimes you maybe have to wonder what's going on in there, right? What do they do? What does their life look like? They have regular meetings and they have people coming in and out of their offices, but what in the world is going on there? And as I thought about it, I thought, okay, is there anybody in the Bible that was a manager? Not too many of them, actually, but there's one. There's probably more, but there's one that I could think of. There was a young man named Joseph, blank, mind blank, who was taken as a slave when he was 17 to a foreign land, where he had to learn a brand new culture, a brand new language, a brand new way of living, totally different lifestyle, come from a little Jewish community, go to the wild cosmopolitan city in Egypt. He was sold as a slave to a rich man, and it says that within the 11 years he worked for this man, he became the manager of that man's entire piece of property. Thought, okay, what does that look like? As a, whatever he was, 26 at that point in time, 28, he handled everything except what his owner actually wanted to eat. That includes running all of the employees that worked in that household. It says both the house and the field, he managed all of them. He handled probably the budgets of that man's home, which of course when you're a rich man you want to make sure the money's being handled very carefully. He probably handled the Egyptian taxes that were required. It was one of those where he handled it all. Then through no fault of his own, he ended up in prison. And it says in the 2 years he was in the prison, he also ran the entire prison. Very, very interesting. And why that's important and why it even matters is eventually the king of the land, the pharaoh of the land, had a bad dream. He couldn't find anybody to tell him what this dream meant. And it ended up that this young man in prison was good at interpreting dreams. So he's standing before Pharaoh at the age of 30. Very, very young man, if we think about that, right? And Pharaoh said, I had these dreams, and all of a sudden, okay, it's a prediction of what's going to happen in the future. Joseph said, okay, in 7 years, there's going to be 7 years of an abundant harvest, and then there's going to be 7 years that are so terrible, all of the food that was provided will be consumed. Pharaoh said, wow, what do we do about this? Joseph stands up and says, okay, you need to tithe one-fifth of everybody's income and collect food, and there'll be enough. I thought, through these years of working for this rich man, years of working, knowing what the current tax system, which was 10%, he said, let's raise it to 20, let's collect food during these 7 years. Pharaoh said, that is genius. Who could do it better than you? So he went from this prison role, which actually was an effective training, to actually running the entire land of Egypt. Picture of what a manager does. Problem comes up. What do we do? Pharaoh says, this is what we can do. That's a manager. Somebody who looks at a problem and says, how do we fix it? Someone who knows how to handle the money. So it's one of those first things. All of our managers write and plan a budget, and that actually gets regularly checked. So when we're sitting in this meeting, say, okay, you overspent in this area. You better be able to tell me why and how, and did you do a good job with my money? That is one of the things a manager must do, and it isn't always something that's easy to answer. I think, too, a manager needs to work towards the company's big plan. When we have our strategy review board meetings in here, we say, okay, these are the types of things we're going to work on this coming year, and the managers say, yep, we're going to make that happen. Then they go back to their room, and they say, okay, how do we unpack this? How do we make this happen? Just like Joseph said, okay, we need to collect food. We need to tax the people a little more. We need to make sure we have all these things supplied. That's the type of thing a supervisor needs to do. They meet with the managers and the people on the team. That's something Wayne does on Mondays. They meet as a group and they say, okay, where are we in our plan? Are there things that we need to have done in order to accomplish what we're trying to do? Do you need any help? Do you need any resources? Are there things we need to pull together to get that done? Let's all be on the same page and keep moving forward together. And because the management team is meeting in here, and they then go and talk with all of the people in their team, if you happen to be missing in a meeting, you might miss a message. And that's okay. The manager knows what's going on. And if you don't exactly know, don't worry about it. A funny story of that, in our family, we have four children, and we'll make sure that all of the kids kind of know what's going on. And then Justin, who's the youngest, will often say, nobody ever told me that. Meetings get missed. Messages get missed. How did I not know that Janelle was having another baby? Well, you know, you need to listen. But don't worry about it, because she's going to have the baby, irregardless of whether you heard about it. For example, in our marketing team, one of the goals that they have this year is put your foot to the pedal and don't stop. That is the true goal that they have. So if you come to Tim and you say, I have a problem I need to deal with, he'll listen, but it might be that he tables it, because the goal of the company is to raise sales, is to bring in customers. That is what he's purposed with, and that is what he is driving for. So don't take it personally if your problem doesn't seem as big, because his job is huge. We look at those numbers and go, okay, Tim, step up, come on. Don't get distracted. Like that, then, all suggestions that come through are vetted within the plan that we have. So if you come to me and you say, Sarita, I think we need to change the title in this IG, or whatever you might ask me to do, I'll nod, because I'm a very friendly person. And sometimes you might say, oh, she's agreeing with me. I might be. But I need to think about it and say, is this something we should do this year? Is this something we should do in 5 years? Is this something we should do ever? That is my job, and it's the job of the management team as well. Because you can say, oh, let's change the title in this IG, and I'll say, wow, okay, we have 72 IGs, and I'll need to hire two people to get that done, and that's going to cost the company this many dollars, and it's going to put the IG production back a month worth of time. And I have to say, nope, not a good plan for this year. We're not going to do that. It doesn't mean it was a bad idea. It doesn't even mean I disagree with you. It means that in the big picture of the company, we are going to do something else, because we have to keep moving things forward. If you bring me a suggestion, I always listen to them. I think they're great and I love them. And if I don't get back to you on whether or not we're going to do it, please do reapproach me, because I'm usually thinking about a lot of different kinds of things, and unfortunately, things do get dropped. The brain cells are not what they used to be, and I'm sorry about that. Our managers also have to work within the owner's mandates. For an example, we'll say, I want you to do thus, when we get together in our meeting, we'll decide what we're going to do. And for example, one of the things we'll say is, okay, we're going to hire an outside firm to do our website. We've talked about why we think that might be a good idea. We've reasoned it out. We have come to say that this is part of the budget, this is what we're going to do. And then for anyone in the building to come in and say, well, now wait a minute, we've always done that ourselves. The management team decided, and we have reasons why, and we won't necessarily even always unpack why that is, just because it's time. There's always time that's involved in all of these things. We take our decisions and we run with them as best we can, and if they work, great. And if they don't, we change and do it better the next time. Our management team also has to meet with me on a regular basis. And I usually ask them how they're doing, what they're working on. Are there issues in their problem? How's the morale in their department? Are there things I can give them to help them get their job done more effectively? And they also hear from me things that I'm not happy about. And that's probably their least favorite time, but it is part of being a supervisor. I'm sure Joseph had a job and Pharaoh came to him at some point and said, you know, I'm getting complaints from the shepherds. Or who knows what came to him? We don't know. But that's the type of thing a manager has to deal with. They have to take the suggestions and the criticisms from the boss. They also have to deal with John's emails. For those of you who don't know my husband, when he writes an email, oh, it's at least 6 pages long. It's usually small type, and it's very, very dense. And as a manager, you are expected to read it, digest it, think it through, and give him a good response. Talk about time, talk about effort, talk about blood, sweat, and tears. That can come. Nobody gets emails from me except real lightweight ones, but they do have to talk to me. So they get it from both sides. Poor people. I think, too, our managers are expected to work toward the good of the company. That isn't always something that's welcome, particularly if maybe you're an employee that's being asked to move on to some other position. As managers, we carefully count each person's life. Wow. We wrestle with those decisions, but we say, you know what? That position, like the buggy whip from the past, that position really does not help our company anymore. At that point, we will ask someone to go and try something else. I'm here to tell you that none of those decisions are easy. I'll have our managers come in the next week and thought, I just wrestled with this all weekend. Are we sure we're doing the right thing? This is somebody's livelihood. But we need to make sure that the company is strong. For all of us, for our customers, for our vendors. So if we're not carefully evaluating each of our skills, each of a person's input and how they're working in the company, and is this of value to the company, that is one of probably the most challenging role that a manager has. Tough decisions. If we do let someone go, it doesn't happen often. I think most of you know that that's true. We will never tell you why that happened. And that is honestly for your benefit. Think about it. If you were let go, you would not want everybody in the building to know why that happened. You just wouldn't, right? Would be rude. So even though you can say, "Pine, now why in the world did they let that person go?" It is never done lightly. It is never done without cause. And it is never done without really thinking it all through. So please rest assured that that is not something, and don't ever take up the offense of someone that's let go. When somebody's let go, sometimes they'll call her, but you know what, they just let me go, and of course it's totally wrong. That's of course one person's opinion, and we will not give you the rebuttal, right? So please take that all with a grain of salt and say, okay, I'm not sure about that. But trust that we are actually trying to do the best for everyone that's here. As I think about working toward the good of a company, an example I came up with was, suppose someone says, okay, I really would rather work part-time because, you know what, I like to go home and put my feet up, or whatever. And we say, no, actually, that's a full-time position. We need you here full-time. The good of the company would say, you can choose. You can work full-time, or you can work somewhere else part-time, but you can go. So that would be an example of a type of a thing that's happening, and I'm sorry, Nate, thank you for doing that. One of the other things, too, our managers always interact with you all. They do the conversations with all of you, and I'm here to tell you that they spend a lot of time thinking through what you do, what value you bring, how they can help encourage you to walk through these things a little bit more effectively. I'm grateful we moved from reviews to conversations. You never want to be saying, okay, you're good, you're bad, here's your score. Yuck, we don't do that in homeschooling either. You don't get a grade. Yeah, that's awesome. But to say, how do we help you improve in the work you're doing? That's something that a manager spends a considerable amount of time in, and that's a good thing. When you're a supervisor, it's kind of an odd place. You know, when I come in this meeting, I sit in this corner deliberately because I know I'm going to get up and talk. And it's so interesting to me, until my daughter-in-law came, nobody ever wanted to sit next to me. And I don't take it personally, I know it's the role. But you know, that's a supervisor's role as well. You know, where do they go eat lunch? They go in the kitchen and they say, hi everybody, and everybody stops talking. Or whatever happens. It's an unusual place to be. Don't let it be. I think you'll find most of our supervisors are personable, friendly people, and most of them. And of course, this is just just thoughts that came off of my head of what they do. But I want to say, I am so grateful for our management team. It's probably been 15 years ago that John and I took a vacation in January. And we happened to be in a place where we were talking with a number of people, and we mentioned that we had left behind the company. I said, how in the world did you dare do that? And I said, you know, I have a great team. So when I leave town, I never worry about how things are happening, because we have supervisors and managers that if something comes up, they deal with it. They talk about it when we get home. And I say, thank you. So thank you, supervisors, for the things you do. It's a huge privilege to work with such a great group, and hopefully I've covered a little bit of what they do. Thanks so much. Any questions? Right, I'm supposed to answer questions. And this is always the tricky part when I'm speaking at conventions too. It's like, what question are they going to come up with, and do I know the answer? What do you think about ebooks? Oh, well. Any questions? Great. Thanks, Luke. Thank you, sir.